Thank you so much for being here today. You know, we're in the series that we're calling Convinced. Thank you, guys. And what we're looking at are these post-resurrection moments when the disciples saw Jesus. Oh, my goodness. They saw him. You know, 2 weeks ago, I was here. I preached, right? And I mentioned my father. My dad was ill. And we knew it was getting close. And an hour after this service 2 weeks ago, my dad went to be with the Lord. And you know, I shared that week or last 2 weeks ago that how much thinking about the resurrection of Christ prepared us for that moment. I didn't realize it was going to happen right after the service, but the resurrection of Christ changed everything. And you know, one of the passages that we read this week, you know, if you're, we're going through the Bible as a church, and if you haven't joined us yet, I want to invite you to just jump in where we are in our Bible reading. But this week, we read 1 Corinthians 15. And in that passage, that's when Paul wrote about the resurrection of Christ. If it didn't happen, then nothing matters. Nothing matters. We're like all worm dirt if the resurrection of Christ didn't happen. But he says in verse 20 in 1 Corinthians 15, which we read this week, but in fact, Christ rose from the dead. Oh my goodness. Christ rose from the dead. And he points out that in Adam all die, but because of Christ, the resurrection changed everything. And that's where he points to in 1 Corinthians 15, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Well, it's gone because of the resurrection of Christ. And we're in this series called Convinced because these first century disciples, they were absolutely convinced that Jesus rose from the dead because they saw him. Oh my goodness. They were convinced. And you know, I'm thankful. And it's my prayer that we become more convinced than ever before in what Jesus not only has said, not only what he has done, but what he is doing in our lives. Because folks, Jesus rose from the dead. Now this week, we have a really good opportunity this week as a church because we're going to go through the upper room experience. And I hope that you come. I hope that through this week on either Wednesday or Friday that we really feel the weight of the cross. It's my prayer that we feel the heaviness of the cross because Easter Sunday is going to be the day we come and celebrate together all across the world that Christ rose from the dead. And so I hope that you sign up. I think Wednesday's pretty full, but Friday, on Good Friday, I think there's some openings. So I really hope that you join us in that. But this morning, we're going to look at John chapter 21. If you have your Bibles, turn there. And let's look at this third appearance of Christ. This is the third time that Jesus shows up to his disciples. So let's stand together and look at John chapter 21, and what we're going to do is read verses 1 through 14 together, and let's just kind of embrace this moment, this third moment that the disciples saw Jesus after his death. It says this in verse 1, after this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said, we'll go with you. And they went out and got in a boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? And they answered him, "No, we don't." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now, none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came and took bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. And this was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And this is the word of the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, have you noticed in your life and in what you've observed that mistakes, sometimes when you make a mistake, it sometimes causes a downward spiral. Like mistakes sometimes are progressive, meaning that one mistake leads to another mistake and you keep making more mistakes, right? That's human nature, and that's a natural experience I think a lot of us have, but failures can sometimes cause us to just keep failing. And this morning we have a fishing story. It's a fishing story. But I think it's a really critical story for us to embrace. You find Peter in a really dark place, I think. I think when you look at this, you see Peter kind of beginning the mistake process. Let me say it like this. You see the progressive mistakes taking place in Peter's life. Now, you can imagine his state, right? Because he was the leader of the disciples. He was the guy that led everybody, and he was the one that said to Jesus, "Look, I'm never going to leave you." And Jesus said to him, "Peter, tonight you're going to deny me 3 times." And then sure enough, that's exactly what happened. And so Peter, I can imagine this rolling over in his mind as he walked that road, as he bailed on Jesus. I mean, went to defend him at first, but then ran. And then the little girl had to have plagued Peter's mind. Remember the story? Peter was at the fire, and the little girl said, "Hey, I recognize you. You were with Jesus," and he denied that he ever knew him, and then all of a sudden the rooster crows 3 times. Remember what the Bible says that Peter did after that? The Bible says that Peter, what? He wept. He wept. Peter was broken with his mistakes, and then can you imagine the shame that he felt as he went to the tomb that day, and oh my goodness, Jesus is alive, and then he appeared to Jesus. Imagine the utter failure that he felt. Now it's noteworthy to recognize that John doesn't describe why Peter went fishing. We don't know why. A lot of scholars debate about what he was doing here, and I don't know that he was necessarily going to clear his head, or for some of you, fishing is a relaxing moment, right? I don't know that that's the case for Peter here. Peter was a confident fisherman. A lot of people wonder and consider that maybe he's going back to his old career here. I don't know. But it makes sense to consider a downward spiral taking place in Peter's life as he realized that, oh my goodness, I denied Christ. I can't cut it. I can't follow him. And you know, when you look at this passage, you can understand Peter's shame. But let's try to catch some details. Look back at verse 1. Let's look at that. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way: Simon Peter, called Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. They were all together. And notice verse 3, Simon said to him, I'm going fishing. And they said, we're going to go with you. You know, it's so interesting to recognize if Peter is rebelling here, he's leading others to go, we're just going to go with you. And they went out and got in the boat. Look at this, verse 3. They got in the boat that night, but they caught nothing. Now, I want us to consider something. When you look at the point of John 21, the whole point of the chapter, you know, Jesus calls us to follow him. And here's something I want us to have in front of us today. We as we go through life, we can chart our own course or follow him. And when you look at the point of this chapter, twice in this final chapter, you see in verse 19 and verse 22, it's this calling, it's this simple statement that says, Jesus says, follow me. And I think the question for us that I don't want us to miss today is this simple question. If you looked at your life right now and if you evaluated where you were headed right now, would following Jesus characterize your life? You know, because the question for us is, will we follow Jesus or not? And I think it's really important for us to see the opportunity that each of us have to follow Jesus. You know, I think what God is saying to Peter is obvious in this chapter, that God's plan for Peter's life is better than his own plans. And can I just say to you, if we're going to summarize something to take home today, it's that God's plan for your life is better than your own plans. God's dreams for your life are better than your dreams. And see, we live in a world that looks at us as Christians and go, man, you got to follow all these rules. And that's not even close to the case. When you follow Jesus, you're invited to this life that is life-giving. I mean, think about John 10:10. The thief, Jesus said, the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says that I've come that you might have life. And have it to the full. And we have this incredible opportunity in front of us to follow Jesus. And this fishing story paints an incredible picture for us. Now let's think about this, what's happening. And I think it's interesting as John ends his book with this fishing story. Let's just consider a flyby of the last half of the book of John, right? If you look at chapters 13 through 17, what John is doing in that entire last half of his book, John is describing the night before Jesus went to the cross. And all those chapters, 13 through 17, Jesus is giving clear instructions to the disciples. And he's communicating to them this important truth that it's only in Jesus where forgiveness is found. That Jesus provides complete forgiveness. And this is why Christ came. Jesus entered the world to help us see that we were a sinner. I mean, I shared at my dad's service the greatest thing that my dad taught me was that I was a sinner and I needed a Savior. I mean, and we're not okay, and this is what's crazy about the world. The world throws these messages at us that hey, you're okay. Hey, we're not okay. In John chapter 13 through 17, Jesus is preparing his disciples that look, I've come to pay the price for sin. And this is what the gospel does for us. This is what Jesus did for us. He confronted us with our own sin, and we need to be forgiven. And it's only in Christ where complete forgiveness is offered. In John 13 through 17, Jesus is preparing his disciples for him to go to the cross. Then you see in chapters 18 and 19, he walks through the arrest, the betrayal, and the crucifixion of Christ. And it's these broken disciples, and it's these rebellious people that Jesus came for. And I think it's important to recognize that the Bible points to the fact that Christ comes after the broken and the rebellious. And I'm grateful for Romans 5:8, this fascinating verse to me, that God demonstrates his love for us in this, that even though we were a sinner, Christ died for us. And I, like the disciples, am naturally a rebellious person. I like my favorite hymn, prone to wander. Lord, I see it. I'm prone to leave the God I love. This is where the disciples were. This is where the Jews were. This is where humanity is. And Jesus came, and he went to the cross for the broken and the rebellious. And John chapters 18 and 19 walk through the arrest of Christ that was unjust. It walks through the crucifixion of Christ, which was predicted by the prophets and spoken of from the beginning of time. And then he went to the crucifixion of Christ where he died. But then John 20. You see this moment when he rose from the grave. Oh my goodness, Jesus rose from the dead. And it's these disciples, these first century believers that are like, they were absolutely convinced that the resurrection of Christ was true. And now in 21, you see this fishing story. Now the disciples weren't hobby fishermen. Okay, that's not who they were. I mean, some of you guys, I don't want to break your bubble because you think you're really good fishermen. You're hobby fishermen, all right? Charlie, no offense. It's a hobby. Now, these guys were pros. They were the real deal. And they didn't catch one fish. Okay, this is not a normal day for them, right? Now, if I were fishing, that would be no big deal. I mean, Brady over here took me fishing with some catfish. I didn't want to touch the thing because I heard they had teeth, you know? And I was like, whoa, man, that thing's, I mean, and like Keith Davis took me fishing one time, and oh my goodness, it was the worst day of my life. He put me in some stupid tube, and I kept going in a circle, and he gave me some stupid reel and rod that kept getting tangled, and I had a knot, and I was like, I found myself having to repent of what I was thinking, but not only that, what I was saying out loud. I'm sorry. I feel bad about that. So I decided I'm not going to go fishing again, okay? So you don't want to go fishing with me. The disciples were pros. And so what's going on here? They're fishing all night and don't catch anything. God was about to teach them a critical lesson that I don't think we should miss today. And it's this. He was trying to help them see there must be a shift in their lives from self-dependence to Christ-dependence. This is so very important for us. Look at verse 4. Just as the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" Now, if you're a pro fisherman, and if you're a pro out there, and some guy 100 yards away, and it's dark, and you see a figure out there, you don't know who he was, and he calls you kids. "Hey, kiddos, you get any fish?" "No. I got a suggestion for you. Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." You know, if you're a pro, you're looking at, "Thanks, buddy. Appreciate your advice." But they were so frustrated, they were like, let's try anything. It's just the state of their thinking, I'm guessing. But he said to them, so he said that to them. So they cast it on the other side. And oh my goodness, they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. Oh my goodness. You know what they're doing here? They're setting an example for us. I'm not sure they knew what they were doing at this moment. They didn't know they were paying attention to the voice of God. But I think this is an important lesson for us. We should pay attention to the voice of God, folks. Do you know that that's the life you can live? We live in a time when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. The Holy Spirit indwells the life of a believer. And what does the Holy Spirit do? He guides, he corrects, he leads. And this is the joy of following Jesus, is that the Holy Spirit moves in our lives. We also live in a time where God has given us his word. You know, this week, there's some men in our church that are walking through their father about to go to heaven, like I did last week. And you know what? One of them texted me and said, Chris, I cannot believe God had us in 1 Corinthians 15 this week. This is the joy of interacting with the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to move you. And so can I tell you something? I don't want you to miss this incredible adventure of the invitation to follow Jesus, because he will speak to you. He will guide you. He will lead you. But look what they did. They not only heard his voice, they actually did what he said. And can I just say to you, this is a call we have in this world to do what God says. The end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, if you hear these words of mine and put them into practice, you're wise. But if you hear these words of mine and don't put them into practice, you're going to be unstable. Your life will be on sand. And so we hear this calling to follow Jesus, and the disciples are experiencing. Look at verse 7. The disciple whom Jesus loved, which I love that John keeps saying that. I'm the disciple Jesus loved. But we'll talk to him about that in heaven, why he did that. But he said to Peter, that's the Lord. It's the Lord. And I kept getting stuck here all week as I was wrestling through this. Look at verse 7. After John says it's the Lord, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. Oh, I love Peter. I love this kind of passion. I love this kind of transition. Think about him. He's led the disciples away. He's like, man, we're going fishing. We're going possibly going back to our old career. And all of a sudden, man, he's worked in his own power. He's worked in his own strength. And that's the kind of man Peter was. He's like, I got this. I'll do this. Man, I'll duke it out with those guys. But he keeps failing. And then he's fishing. He's failing. And all of a sudden, Jesus speaks and he catches. They see all this fish caught. He goes, that's him. He jumps in and he swims 100 yards. What a swim that would be. You know, I think that in this moment, God was preparing Peter, look, buddy, you think you have power, you think you have strength, you have passion, you have all these good things, but Peter, you need me. And folks, I want you to know how important it is for you to come to the point in your life that you continually realize, Jesus, I need to follow you. Oh, we need to follow him. And I love it that Peter was this go all in guy. And can I tell you, it is important to go all in. But let's not forget, we don't live in our own power. We need Christ today. and tomorrow. We need Christ. And I'll tell you, if you want to serve the Lord, if you want to follow Him, there's a reason that Jesus says, you follow me. There's a lot of people that are living in their own power. Sometimes as a pastor, I tend to drift into my own power. What can I do? And I think in this fishing story, we see how much we need Christ. And I'll tell you, when you follow Jesus, you know what you see? You see something really interesting here that I just couldn't get away from. Look at verse 9. When they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you've just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore. And I want us to see something right here. I want you to see when you really follow Jesus, that God's results are just better than your results. And this is something that you see over and over again. We're afraid to depend on the Lord. We're afraid sometimes to trust the Lord. But when we do, God just works things out. And notice what the Bible says here about these fish. The fish were large. I think that's noteworthy. And I've been with fishermen that are like, man, I didn't catch little fish. We caught big ones today. And I think that this is such an incredible example of Peter and the disciples learning to not live by their own strength. All night long, they were going their own way. They were like, man, we're going to get this done. We're going to do this. And God teaches them something so simple that when you hear my words and you follow me, I got the results. And it's better than your results. They're large fish. You know what it reminded me of is John 15:5. Great verse to memorize. I am the vine, Jesus said. You are the branches. A man who remains in me will bear much fruit. Oh, can I just challenge us not to miss this adventure of hearing Christ say to us, follow me. Notice what else it says. Look at the Bible there. It was full of large fish, and I think this is interesting. I couldn't get away from this. 153 of them. And you know what it just reminded me of? That God notices every fish. He knew every fish. He knew every one of them. 153 large fish. And I think it's just insightful that God notices every single fish. And it just reminded me, my mind went back to when Peter was called the first time. Remember Matthew 4 talks about this, 18, 19, and 20 in Matthew chapter 4. That's when Jesus was going by the Sea of Galilee. He sees Simon, which was Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and they were casting their nets into the sea. And all of a sudden, Jesus looks at Simon. He says, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. And you know what? Jesus notices people. And this is why I think God right here is confronting Peter and going, look, I know you're a good fisherman, but I got a bigger purpose for you. When I look at us, boy, I pray that we are a church full of teachers, businessmen, firefighters, police officers, whatever you're called to do, that sees your job as following Jesus. You see, because what God's doing in your life, in your work, through the things we're good at, is he's pointing people to Christ. And it's my prayer that every one of us, because that's what a church is, what, right? A church is a people called we're the ecclesia, the called out ones, the ones that are used by the Lord to go infiltrate every part of our city for the purpose of helping people see Christ. You see, right here, Jesus is saying to Peter, I got a job for you. And it's bigger than just fish. I think it's interesting that 153 of them, notice this, and this just struck me, and I kept noticing this, that the net was not torn. The net wasn't torn. I can imagine it being normal. If you're hauling in 150 fish in the first century, that, man, you're going to break a net. But I think they got all those fish together, and they're, wow. The net wasn't torn. And I think it's really interesting when you follow the Lord, he not only blesses you with more than you can imagine, he not only calls you to a real purpose, but I think when you follow the Lord, he sustains you and helps you accomplish his will. And this week I was just thinking about this idea that how God provides the when we serve him, he strengthens us, he sustains us, he provides for us, and he does this as we live out his plan for life. And I was walking through the office, and Caleb Bundy, who's working with our students right now, I said, Caleb, give me a verse that comes to your mind when you think about God just providing for you and sustaining you and just helping you serve him and strengthening you every step of the way, day by day. And he goes, Matthew 6:33. I said, perfect. You know what Matthew 6:33 says? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So when I look at this passage, I look at this fishing story, it's so interesting as I flesh it out, as I process it. Such a great story and an example about following Jesus that regardless of our abilities, our experiences, our strength, we're unable to follow Christ apart from him. And God calls us to this incredible adventure. And folks, I pray we don't miss it. Because you look at Peter's life here, you look at the disciples, and they were absolutely convinced, Christ, you are God. And then Jesus does something remarkable with Peter. He pulls him aside. He said, Peter, I want to talk to you. Look at verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than all these? He says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to me, feed my lambs. You know, when I look at this, he summarizes it by saying, Peter, follow me. Love me. Do you love me? Hey, I got a calling for you. You know what, when I think about this, loving the Lord and following the Lord is not looking backwards, it's looking ahead. God, what have you? I want to follow you, I want to seek you, I want to look to you, I want to see where you're working right now, I want to join you right where you're working. Verse 16, he said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He said, tend my sheep. Loving God is doing what he's called you to do, folks. Walking with him, seeking him, serving him, surrendering to him, growing up in him, This is the joy of having a church that we get to help one another grow in our walk. And he says a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? He said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep. And you know, then he tells him this story. Peter, when you were young, you used to clothe yourself, feed yourself, but hey, get ready, because it's going to be tough. And he lays out this tough plan. Can I tell you, when you follow Jesus, you'll never regret it. It's an invitation that we have, but can I tell you, we're going to have to be courageous as we follow Jesus. But as I look at the end of John 21, I can't get away from the overarching message that we hear Jesus say to Peter, the disciples, and you and me, as Jesus simply says to us, follow me. You know, every year I read Pilgrim's Progress. I don't know if you've read that book. I love that book because it's Christian. It's a story of Christian on his journey to the heavenly city. And you see Christian, and what he does is he leaves the city of destruction. And he turns his face to the heavenly city. And he meets Jesus, and his burden falls off his back. And Christ saves his life. And you know, as he walks the Christian life, the reason I love Pilgrim's Progress, it paints such a cool picture of what it looks like to walk with Jesus. Because, you know, Christian, he goes through some tough situations. Like he has to go through the Slough of Despond, it's called. He runs into a giant called Giant Despair, who lives in Doubting Castle. He goes through the valley of the shadow of death. He faces this valley of humiliation. He runs into people that get in his way. His good friend Faithful is walking beside him. He watches Faithful die. But yet, each character in this book, it's interesting because it brings out these scriptural truths. But there's an overarching lesson in Pilgrim's Progress, and you get to see this creative depiction of a man experiencing the joy of following Jesus. Can I just say to us, let's follow him. Follow him. Because folks, let me tell you, there is only one who had the power to conquer the grave, and it was Christ. And these early disciples were absolutely convinced that Jesus is the Savior who took away sin. And ever since that moment, as we'll look next week, as Jesus left into heaven and left his Holy Spirit continues to work, and he's at work right now. If you were to look at your life right now, would following Jesus describe your current path? We're going to have an invitation. And Brandon's going to come. And there's going to be some people around the room, scattered around the room. And I want you to go there right now. And maybe you need somebody to pray for you. Maybe you're wanting to follow Christ, but you don't know how. My prayer is that you respond to him. You see, Peter, in this fishing story, sets an example for us. Don't miss this adventure in your life of walking with Christ, of seeking his face, of being used by the Lord in the world. You see, because here's what I know. Just like God looked at Peter and the disciples, I've called you to this time for a purpose, to communicate to the world about me. You know that God's doing that with us. He's called us to this place, to this time. You know, this week, I got to meet a new friend from England. And for an hour, we talked about Christ. And he said, you know, I started thinking about Jesus about 10 years ago. He says, it's interesting what you're talking about, that it's not just a religion, it's a relationship, that I'm a sinner. That's interesting. He said, you know, I hear what you're saying, but I think I would have to be all in on that. I got to think about that more. And I said to him, I said, you know what? You're right. God calls you to be all in. Oh, but don't miss it, my friend. Don't miss the Spirit of God saving your soul from sin and then moving in you and leading you and guiding you. And he was a close talker. So we were all up in each other's breath right there. Thankfully, I just had catfish. It was awesome. Oh, but you know what? I said to him, my friend, you're not far from experiencing God moving your life. And I'm praying for my friend. And I'll tell you, I think his business partner is right when he said to me, hey, this deal's going to get done with Jesus. And I think that's right. Come to Jesus. Follow him. Don't miss that. People are around the room and would pray with you. Let us follow him. Lord Jesus, we bow before you today. And it is with joy that we feel conviction. I thank you for conviction. I thank you that we get to be a church that walks out the details, that learns from one another, that sticks together. So Lord, would you move us today, and may every person in this room, I pray we follow you. Thank you for this fishing story. Move us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand where you are?